My name is Ashley, and I'm addicted to League of Legends.
I knew it.
You can't be addicted to video games.
It's not possible.
Should we have that discussion?
Actually, that's interesting, because...
You can be addicted to anything.
Talking about that, where it's like, video game addiction is not a medically recognized addiction.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, yeah. But it...
I know you can be addicted to anything. I've seen people addicted to eating dryer sheets. I mean, that's random.
That seems a little odd.
Odd, but I mean, people can be addicted to anything.
Well, I knew a guy that would eat three packages of Oreos in one sitting. He was like $1.20. I mean, he was a really skinny guy. Well, maybe not $1.20, but he was really skinny, but he just had no control whatsoever as soon as he had an Oreo. And it was never I can eat just one. It was, he ate three packages. Not one package, three packages. So
it's like Fig Newtons. Well, the serving size is like two cookies. Who eats two cookies? I eat Fig Newtons by the sleeve.
Like a wood chipper.
What's that?
Fig Newton shavings coming off the side. Oh, killed Ashley.
Welcome to Confessions of a Game Dev podcast.
No, no, we got that's so terrible.
Wait, has it been recording this whole time?
Oh, yeah.
This is
just before we just get warmed up.
Okay, you
know? Ash? I'm trying.
Right before Ash dies.
Okay, I can breathe. Okay,
so
we're good.
What's the Fig Newton reference?
Brian Regan.
Oh.
It was, that's a Brian Regan sketch.
Oh, okay.
Oh, all right, well,
all right.
That was funny enough that Ashley just almost died.
Welcome to Confessions of a Game Dev podcast. Tonight we've got some special visitors that may or may not die. We will find out soon enough. This is Spencer Buchanan. Stop coughing.
Oh, I'm trying.
Dude.
Wow.
I'm trying.
Dude.
Dude.
Can't cough all over the
mouth. Are you
just
done?
Stop talking to me! Stop talking to me! Let me concentrate!
Oh, sorry.
Oh.
Right, don't stare at me either!
Hey, everybody, look at
should we try it one more time, or are you going to cough?
No.
Again?
Oh my god, don't. I will, like,
wait
spray.
Ew. Alright.
Yeah, if you want my water all over your face, no.
Okay.
Here we go.
Okay, I'm good.
Okay. Welcome to Confessions of a Game Dev podcast.
Woohoo!
This is Spencer Buchanan. We, have a sad story to tell that Trent will not be here tonight.
Oh, no.
But then we found Christian.
Woo-hoo! Yay! Christian's going to be on the podcast.
Yes.
Christian, so, Munoz. You may remember him from the last time he was on the podcast.
Like a year ago.
It kind of was last year.
It was last year.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And also we have Ashley McMillan.
Woo-hoo! Yes.
And what's, who are you?
Oh, well, you know me. I'm the one who talks all the time.
Yeah. What?
You Brad all? Karate is Brad here as well. Woohoo!
You chopping, all talk all the time.
Chopping his way. That was a, we have yet to mention Karate Chop, haven't we?
Yeah, well, it's I don't miss it. I have heard it a few times.
Oh, good. You know that moment when you think you've got a really funny joke, and then right as soon as you're done, you're like, you've heard that a million times, haven't you? Like, I seriously, when I went to GDC, I saw the Konami booth, and I'm like, oh, do I have to tell you the Konami code to get a job? And I'm like, that was really dumb because you hear that all the time, don't you? She's like, yeah, kind of. But at least you recognized it. I was like, thank you. I'm sorry. I feel bad. And I thought, I thought I was being original for once. Nah. And the one time that I actually made a valid joke, we weren't recording, remember?
Oh,
gosh.
And I actually got everyone sincerely laughing at something that I said, which is like probably the only time it ever happened, and I have no record of it. I'm really kind of sad about it.
It's not recorded, it never happened.
Oh, yep. So disappointing.
That was another thing I sat in on.
That was
but no one ever knew.
It was such a great podcast.
And maybe Christian was there. We don't know.
Christian,
but today
Christian
said
that, so I was also eating during that one as well.
In that podcast.
Yeah.
And now you will never know what it was.
Oh,
yes.
So what happened last weekend?
Last weekend, dude, you guys totally missed out, and I'm gonna rub it in your faces until you do something about it, because you guys missed out on the Global Game Jam, and that was freaking awesome. It was so much fun. It was a great experience. It was really wild. I think I slept for like 20 hours after I was done, because I didn't sleep. I slept 3 hours during the weekend when I finally crashed. So Global Game Jam. Shut
Titanic,
up.
Titanic.
Global Game Jam.
Yes. Global Game Jam.
Global Game Jam.
GGJ13, as I said on Twitter over the weekend, was a game jam where you're given an assignment or a theme, and you have to make a game within 48 hours with a team, by yourself, whatever. And it could be analog game, it could be a digital game, it could be anything. They had a costume session, and people made it cosplay. Oh man, I'm bad today. They made cosplay, and so there was like sewing machines laid out, and there was tons of people just stitching and painting, and it was a really neat, just creative weekend, right? And so the theme was heartbeats, and it was just they just gave us an audio clip that had a heartbeat going on it, and that was all we had to go off of. And it was what was really neat is we got there at 5. They told us what it was, but 7 is when the real official time started, and it ended at 7 on Sunday. So we knew a couple hours beforehand, and we were just thinking about it, trying to figure out what we would do with a heartbeat. And there was obviously like, okay, so you're a heart and you're platforming. It's like, okay, can we go a few more steps in the idea process?
Cholesterol fighters.
Yeah, cholesterol fighters. Okay, you're in the bloodstream. It's like, no, let's
do something with valves.
I know, right? There's like so many options of doing something that abstracts the idea of what a heart is, as opposed to just putting a heart in your game as the main character, problem.
This is a little off topic, but have you seen the Quap Operation game?
Yes, that actually came out of this.
Is it really?
That's where this came out of. And it is absolutely brilliant.
You know, it is amazing.
Yeah, I know what Quap is. I've beaten it.
Okay.
Have you?
Yes, I have. I didn't know you could.
So, yes. Mary.
I crawled on one knee and knocked over the hurdles.
Mary, the definitive, nice, accurate controls of Quap with heart surgery.
Yeah.
And that's where this game comes
from. So you had four, I guess it was four buttons, the space bar, and then four keys right next to each other for one hand, and that was your hand to grab things. So if you pushed like R and space, your forefinger and your thumb would go together, right? Or R and whatever's next to R, E, and your space, and you have thumb and forefinger and middle finger go together, right?
Yeah.
And so that's how you grab with this hand, and then the mouse moves the hand in that space, right? And so in the middle is a man on a table, and the chest is open. There's a napkin over the chest, and on the right side is a cooler with the replacement heart in, and on the left is all your tools, a scalpel, a bone saw, like and there was a radio. You could grab the radio and turn it on and off. And it's like, this was what was most amazing for me, was seeing how much art got spit out so fast. Like, someone created an entire 3D, elementary school room in 3D art, textured, UV'd, late. I mean, it was amazing how fast things were done. And so this entire game, all the 3D art was done, and it's a little boxy. 3D art, but yeah, you very clumsily grab the napkin and pull it off, and as soon as you do that, you're like, oh man, this guy's so dead. You know, like, just the difficulty in trying to grab that off was phenomenal. And then you have to
kill them. Did it buzz?
Well, yeah. So the life meter is how many pints of blood it has, or milliliters. And so as you do bad things, the milliliters decreases faster, right? And you're in it. Creates a time base, and so you get the bone saw, and as soon as you put the bone saw in, all of a sudden the ribs just like snap apart as if they're Legos, and they're just flying everywhere, right? And it's like, oh no! I didn't do that! And so they're just popping out, and then you have to like grab them one by one, and then flip your wrist upside down, or upside down, and kind of throw them out, or whatever, and then you go in there and you grab the lungs, and you can plop the lungs out, and you plop the heart out, and then you put the it's absolutely genius, and it was just, everyone's been talking about it on a lot of indie game websites, and everyone's like,
a lot of regular websites.
Really?
I found it on I have an app, and it gathers like all these different things, and I saw like four or five articles on it.
Oh wow!
And I was like, wow! what is this? This is funny.
Yeah, no, it was absolutely amazing. What was really neat is some of the stuff that came out of just Salt Lake. So there was two multiplayer games that came out, networked multiplayer games, it running in browsers, HTML5, Java backend. And I'm like, and one of them, they were telling me what they want to do. And I'm like, you're doing not only a multiplayer game, but an asymmetrical multiplayer game. I mean, the asymmetrical games are so difficult anyways to make, but they pulled it off. And I was like, what engine are you guys going to use? Oh, nothing. We're just going to build it all from scratch. I'm like, bull crap. And I thought they were joking. No, they were dead serious. Like, one guy, the guy that kind of was the team leader, his name, around the community is the Admiral. And I don't even know, half the people don't even know his real name. I was like, all I know is his name's the Admiral. He's a guy
like
that wore
underground group.
Well, yeah, he wore a lab coat the entire weekend. He didn't sleep 1 minute.
Wow.
And he had lab goggles on his head the entire weekend.
He was like Dr. Horrible.
Yeah. Oh no, totally Dr. Horrible. And for a while you're like, all right, this guy's just, you know, blowing smoke and he's just some hot shot, think he's all cool. No, he had the chops to back it up. He was freaking amazing and he was just like coding like a monster. He coded the entire server that managed this game. And then he was getting frustrated because the guys that were managing the clients, making the clients, was too slow. And so he just made them as well. I mean, I was like, you gotta be kidding. You just made this whole freaking game, you know? And someone else did a multiplayer game. And then, who else? There was a really cool game. So Joe Burry was there.
Mm-hmm. Ah!
He showed up and he was with, his friend, that girl that was in our class.
Sure.
Mm. I can't remember her name. I
forget her
name. I always forget her name, too.
Yeah, but
I'm sorry.
The only person that we don't know.
Yeah.
If you're listening, go ahead and send us an email and correct us.
Yes.
We'll edit it.
So he was there.
Her name is?
There you go. All right, we'll add that. That space will be filled in next week. So he was there, and he created a game where you were... Your heartbeat was basically taking a phone and using an accelerometer by raising it up and down. And so you had to keep it in constant motion. And if you got scared and you shook the phone, it would cause penalties in the game. And so it was this like survival horror game for the mobile phone. And that was the elementary school game. and you're in this elementary room and you just have to get out. And so you're moving the phone in constant motion, and he set it up so that the camera would read lights. So if you turn the lights off, the lights would turn off in the game. Ooh. If you heard sound, if there was sound around you, someone else started talking or the radio turned on, that sound would be read by the, picked up by the mic, and then the ghost would be alerted to you and chase after you. Like, it was amazing. And then obviously if you shook, you would knock a desk and the desk would knock over and make noise, and then the ghost would chase after you. And I'm like, that sounds really great. There's no freaking way you can do that in 48 hours. I like, every time I heard some idea, I'm like, there's no way you can do that in 48 hours. As much as I've pitched some crazy games, oh yeah, we could do that in a couple months, and it's like a AAA 2-year development to even fathom what we wanted to do. I thought, there's no way these things can be done. And a lot of them got done. It was really amazing.
Well, you gotta think, I mean, like, rapid prototyping, this is the definitive rapid prototype.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Where we just go and make it as fast as possible. No polish, like, make it work. It doesn't have to be perfect, but it has to be decent.
Yeah.
And so...
But it was just amazing, like, how much... okay, so a couple undergrads. Eric Rios and Kyle Chittenden? I don't know how to say his last name. Chittenden. These two kids are artists. I'm absolutely floored by these guys, because you, and both artists that are in the room, you guys need to look out, because these guys, I'm familiar
with their work.
I'm absolutely floored. And so they got on a team and they're like, we're going to make a MOBA. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you guys have no clue what you're in for. They did it, and they made a MOBA instead of Champions. You're controlling your base, which is the heart. You know, you're keeping your heart alive, but there's three lanes, just like a MOBA would be. And the base rotates. And so it may spit out like three minions on each path, and then it rotates. And what you're doing is you're leveling up and deciding what comes out of each of the nodes on your base. And so you have to figure out, based on randomly rotating the nodes, which pathway is going to get whatever it is so that you can go and beat theirs, because they're doing the same thing. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was just like, no way. And they did like 16 cycles of animations. they did a horse load of models. I mean, it was all done in 3D. It was, you know, in a way, it wasn't like super polished, not all, and not everything was textured. But I was just floored. I was like, you guys did so much work. It was amazing. It was really cool. And one of the things that the Global Game Jam tries to do is encourage less competition, more cooperation, because there's no prizes. No one wins anything. It's just everyone getting an opportunity. But also they say if you can learn something, make sure you're learning something new, you know, take a different role, do something that you normally couldn't, even if it's at your job, because they'd fire you if you tried to, kind of thing, you know? And Joe said that. He's like, I am so glad, you know, this is my one outlet. I can put in 40 hours of work here, a whole week of work, and do a prototype that EA would never let me do. Cause he's a designer at EA.
Right.
And he does some really cool stuff with what he can work with, but it's these few times that he gets to do whatever he wants. And so our team, no one knew how to use Unity except for me. And I don't know the scripting side of Unity, but all of them wanted to do it. And I was like, I can show you exactly how to use Unity. We can get up and running. I just don't know how to code for this. And they're like, okay, that's fine. You know? And so I showed them how to code, or I showed them how to use Unity, and none of them knew how to use it. And in some ways, I wish we didn't use it, or I wish we used something that everyone was familiar with, because I felt like we didn't have that strong of a game at the end. But it finished, it was done, it played, and you could play through a level. So it was exciting. And I initially thought, oh, this sucks. This game just stinks. It's not fun. I don't like it. And I had to make all the art for it because our artist, something happened to his daughter, and so he had to leave, and so I'm like, I guess I'm making all the art now, and so the art's just gnarly in it. But all my engineers are like, not mine, all the engineers on my team were saying, this was such a huge success. I am so proud of our game. And then other people in the group were looking at it, and they're like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. I'm so excited. Your game design was so awesome. I'm excited for it. I'm like, why are so people so excited about this? Like, and it was the first time that I've actually, I don't know, had that feeling about a game. I don't know. Anyone have any comments on that? Like,
well, I would say, like, you know, especially as we've gotten into our own games, you know, we get jaded. You know, you look at people who come up and see the games we worked on for the past year, and they're like, wow, this is really good. It's really cool. Look at how cool this is.
Yeah.
And we're just like, I've seen it all before. You know,
a thousand times.
You guys ever heard of the thing where you take a penny and you put it up to your eye?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Stick it up to your eye.
You take a penny, you put it next to your eye. What can you see out of that eye?
A penny.
You see the penny. But if you take it and put it here, what can you see out of that eye?
Looking around it.
Exactly. And you can appreciate the scope of that penny and what it means and stuff like that. Taking a step back away from something you're working on, because you're like, we're constantly, especially the games we work on, we're so close to them. We're so, just, you know, we're so focused on them that we don't see everything around it. You know, and people come up and go, oh, look, a penny, you know, wow, it's so shiny.
Yeah.
You know, and we don't appreciate it. It's like, oh, it's just a penny. I've had this penny for a year. I just don't, it's just a penny, whatever. I don't care. You know, and that perspective, I think, was even at Game Jam, in 2 days, you just spent so much time working on this thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just like, I'm hammering it, I'm going, it's like, and it didn't come out to hit, it didn't quite hit the dream that I was aiming
yeah.
for, you know. But even so, it's like, people are like, wow, that's really cool. Look, I never thought we'd get this far, you know,
yeah.
and just, it's something that I think we got to be cautious about, especially going into the industry, is just like, don't become so jaded that you can't be excited about something just because it didn't quite come out the way you wanted it to.
So,
I've never done a great game jam, but I've done numerous 48-hour film festivals.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Those were...
Same thing.
Yes, they make a movie in 2 days. Or mm-hmm. 24-hour. We did a 24-hour one, and that was nuts. but it was always... The hardest part that we always had was that everyone had all these grand plans and grand ideas and had all these big, giant things, but the best films we ever made were the really small ones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or the ones where it's like, we have a house, we have a camera, we have a couple of lights, and that's it. There's five of us. how do we make this movie? I don't know. It's a horror film about a guy who, you know, they steal money from a, what is that called? The bell ringer?
The Salvation Army guy.
You know, oh, okay, we can do that. So we filmed it all in one house, in the garage, in the backyard, and went all over the place as fast as we could from one section to another. There was parts where one of us is holding a light as the other one's talking. Okay, turn around. You're holding the light now. talking. We're back and forth. You know, it was just holding the mic and the light together. No, it's not moving. Okay, it was just holding still. Okay, but you're doing that because you're trying to get it done as fast as possible. And you get to the end of it, it's like, oh, it's not that great. Okay, it's not as, you know, some of these other guys spent all this money and all this time. And you look at it, but people really like that kind of down and dirty. Passion is what drives any of these projects, not necessarily the AAA quality, you know, which is why, and this is non-sequiturs, but like YouTube videos relate to people not necessarily because of the quality of the video, as far as like the production quality.
But the quantity of crotch kicks?
Sometimes. but seriously, it's more the passion behind it. And it have to be. It can look ridiculous and it can be goofy, but if it's fun and it's interesting, these people obviously have put time and they have a passion for creating it. You know, you can feel that in something, and it be a game, a movie, whatever.
Because we're on the topic, do you think that's why like Gangnam Style is so popular? Because it doesn't feel like it's fabulously produced.
No.
But it feels, I mean, you can tell there was some money put into it, but at the same time, it feels like it was very much a low budget, just, let's do a random scene with the elevator. And
there's no Now it feels in snow.
Hey, why let's find this snow? Little kid that can break dance. So, yeah.
Interesting thing about it is I've seen a lot of behind the scenes of what he did, and a lot of the stuff was just on the fly. Yep. Like when he's sitting on the toilet in the bathroom, he was just like, I had to go to the bathroom. We decided to make it a part of the music video. Like it really was just that. It was so random.
What's the thing? And people, you know, like it or not, people relate to that kind of goofiness. It's just being silly for the sake of silliness is fun. Mm. Having a good time. And I think we forget that sometimes when we're making things. We're working so hard. We're putting all this time into it. But at the same time, if you're not having a good time doing it, you know, and if you can't appreciate the fact that we're making games, you know, you lose a little bit. You lose that passion. You lose that ability thing. How far are we? How long are we?
Oh, we're 20 minutes. Okay. Yeah. So, something that was fun for me was taking more of a design role. I you know, I've always kind of as needed taken the design role, but, so what was cool is at 7 o'clock, they gave everyone the theme, whether you knew it or not. And then they gave you 10 minutes in a room that was locked. You couldn't leave and you could talk to do whatever you wanted. You could talk to other people. You could start, you know, negotiating ideas, seeing what other people think. And then everyone that had an idea got up in the front and pitched it, and you had 30 seconds. And it was a really fun process.
30-second pitch.
Oh, it was really fun, and only one person went over, and he was just like, couldn't stop talking. You got his idea, but he just kind of kept rambling. But everyone got it out, and so my idea was, and I almost said it as a joke, like I didn't think anyone would take it seriously, but I was like, all right, I'll try this, and so I'll pitch it as if I'm sold on it myself.
30 seconds, go.
All right, so you have an egg, and you're trying to hatch the egg, but you're determining the heartbeat by touching the screen. And so the rhythm of the touch screen is the heartbeat that you design the monster. Whatever comes out of the monster is based on the heartbeat. So if you beat really fast, he'll have wings. If you beat really slow, he'll have goofy eyeballs or a tail or 3 feet or 4 feet, all based on the heartbeat during its gestation period. That's it.
Not bad.
Right? And what's that?
It's 23 seconds.
Nice. I used all 30, and I stumbled over gestation last time too.
It's okay. Words are hard.
Words are difficult. But yeah, like Joe was like, "Dude, your idea sounds like the coolest one here." I was like, "Cool, you want to do it?" He's like, "No, I'm going to do my own." I was like, "Ah!" and you know, and I felt that was a really big honor that Joe came up to me and he's like, "I really like your idea." And he said, and a lot of people, they're like, one thing that makes your idea really great is that sounds so simple, but you're going to be spending 48 hours on it. Mm-hmm. Trust me, you know. And you know, there's the multiplayer network, asymmetrical games, and there's Trent worked on a game with one of our other friends, Peter. And they put in like 25 levels.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, they got the gameplay down fast, and they're just like, okay, let's implement this level. Okay, let's put this here. Let's put and it was like, it was more of a level run to see how many levels they could put in the thing. And they're like, yeah, it wasn't long enough. I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm sorry. An hour of gameplay isn't sufficient in 48 hours. But I agree. That heart game, I've been playing it for 2 days straight.
Well, yeah. Sounds like you had a great time, though.
No, it was fun. It was a lot of fun. It was great experiences. Tons of cool people that I never would have met otherwise. And, you know, it's just neat to be part of the community as much as meet people in the community. So.
Is this an annual thing? We do this every year?
Yeah, Global Game Jam is annual. There's plenty of other game jams, though. That's the one that's hosted by our local IGDA chapter. But there's tons of them, and we should do them. And, like, Ludum Dare, I don't know how you say it. That one, they do it like every 2 or 3 months. And that one's either 24 or 48 hours. I don't remember. Molly Jam. Peter Molyneux is a Twitter handle that makes fun of Peter Molyneux, the guy that made the Fable games.
Yeah.
Fable,
Populous.
Black versus white. Black and white. Not black versus white. That's that non-PC game that we don't talk about.
Yeah, he's now running the 22 cans company that did Curiosity. Mm-hmm. It's a mobile app where it's just a cube and you just tap boxes and you knock off pixels off of the cube, and whoever hits the last cube gets to see what's in the box. And
only one person will ever get to see it. The end.
Yeah, it's like this weird social experiment. I don't even call it a game. It's a great social experiment, though.
But anyway, Peter Molyneux is well known for being super passionate about his projects, but he always seems to overstate what the game actually is.
Yeah.
You know, like Fable is going to be this, oh, all your choices matter and everything's going to be so great. And you can do this, you can buy a property, and you can get married, and you can have kids, and you can have this, and there's all these different things you can do. Well, you can't do versions of that in the game, but it's very scaled back. He just has a tendency to get so excited about his work that it just gets a little
and sometimes it gets a little eccentric. I mean, it's fair to say eccentric,
and it's always eccentric. Something really odd. And so Peter, Molyneux was a Twitter handle this guy created, and it was just he just spat out design.
He's like, imagine you're a foam piece in a sound booth room, and every time someone speaks, you have to grab their sound, you know, sound waves
to keep it from bouncing around.
Yes, and your job as the, you know, and it's like, okay, that might almost work. I can almost see that as a game. Like, that's most of his tweets is like,
he would speak once.
That almost makes sense as a game idea. And enough people did that they created a game jam where you take any one of his tweets and you make a game out of it. And it's
hundreds of games,
and so you go to Molly Jam and there's you can see any of the games that people have made, and there's hundreds of games that people have made about these ideas, and every now and then there's one that's like, dude, that's actually a really cool idea. So there's tons of opportunities to work. And you know what's funny is I was live tweeting. I tweeted a ton during that. I was getting people in Seattle talking to me. I got people in Chicago talking to me because we were all dealing with the same thing at the same time. And it was really fun to just be, you know, I had never talked to this person on Twitter, or in Seattle, and him and I were totally like chumming it up. It was great to meet new people. So.
Our Floridian friends were doing it too.
They had that's an right. EA team. Yeah. What did they make?
I don't know. I just know they had a team there from EA.
We were talking to Jorge and he wasn't too happy about it. He said it was blood cells.
He said something.
I don't know. I heard it from Honorog, but.
Oh.
I heard it, from Jorge the other day on Google Hangout, whatever. They did it on Unity as well.
Yeah. Well, and I think he didn't like it because they took it quite literally, it sounded like, and they were just doing blood cells traveling through a stream, and it was kind of tower defense-y or something. And I thought, I would have hated that too. I mean, I tried to stray from the heartbeat as much as possible or abstract the idea of a heartbeat. And even defining the heartbeat of an egg isn't that far, but it's not. There was tons of talk of your blood cells traveling through blood. And there's a heart. It's like, oh man. Anyways, so
game jams.
Game jams.
We'll definitely talk about the next one that's coming up. That'd be awesome.
In the local IGDA chapter, in a month and a half when we meet again, we're going to show off all the games. And sometimes, a lot of the times, people actually continue development.
Sure.
Through, and you know, it's, now we have like 2 more months to develop this game if we wanted to. And so we'll show off those Game Jam games, but then we'll also show off anyone that moved on. Greg Squire, who's he's the guy that's running, an indie game community, association. I don't even know if it's official or anything, but he runs it and he organizes it in the Valley, and he made a game all by himself. And it's very retro graphics, Atari graphics. And I was just like, this game is so pretty. It's so awesome. And it was just such simple graphics. It was so great. And he did it all by himself. He did the art, did the sound, did everything. And it was robots that had killed all the humans off. And then they realized that they needed compassion. So they started harvesting hearts. I'm going to keep talking about Global Game Jam unless you get another topic going on.
That's okay.
Here, so.
Well, yeah, let's, we don't want to go too long today.
Yeah.
What have you guys been playing? Anything else?
Off topic.
I played Bioshock for the first time.
Oh, yay! No, that's good. Tell us about your experience. What do you think?
So, I felt I probably should have done it on the hardest difficulty because I thought it was pretty easy. I went through it without ever dying or anything like that. Yeah, whatever's below the hardest. Mm-hmm. I didn't do the hardest, but I should have.
I just want you to know that I hate you because I played a game this week on normal and I died about 8,000 times.
Well, it's also a different kind of game. I mean,
slightly different, but they still you still shoot things.
Okay, so we're gonna get on to Spencer's game in a second. But what'd you play? Like, so what'd you think?
So I loved the story of it. Usually I don't pay attention to story in games, which is probably a problem of mine, but I usually just get so sucked into shooting things that I don't pay attention. But this one, I paid attention to everything. I collected any sort of voice, like, diary I could find and listened to everything. I was trying to figure out what this place was. I knew it was an Ayn Rand reference, mm-hmm. Atlas Shrugged, all that kind of stuff, and I'm familiar with her work. So yeah. I saw that in Rapture, and I understood that, and it was interesting.
What did you think of the... Would you kindly part?
So I never noticed he said that so often until that point. I was like, I had no idea. But we were forced to do this regardless.
So we're going
to
do a spoiler real fast. The game's been out for
7 years.
Like 7+ years. Yeah. So we're going to spoil. Would you kindly is a section of the game. Throughout the entire beginning of the game, there's a character named Atlas who's kind of helping you out.
Right.
And is kind of, he just shows up because you go into Rapture, the city. And you're down there, and he's like, hey, buddy, let me help you, okay?
Yeah.
You know, and he's just like, let me help you out. Go get that wrench. Go get that gun.
But didn't he have a wife? And he's like, can you help me? Get to me, and we'll get my wife.
Get the wife. And all these different things. But you get near to about the midway point of the game, and you meet Andrew Ryan, who is the big person in this city.
Yeah. He founded Rapture.
And,
Ayn Rand, Andrew Ryan. Finally saw that.
Got it?
I knew it was Ayn Rand, but...
Ayn Rand.
Ayn Rand.
It's hard. Okay.
I give up!
But what I'm saying is, like, so Andrew Ryan reveals, he's like, stand, would you kindly? Sit, would you kindly? And your character keeps doing this, would you kindly? You've been following Atlas unquestioningly for the entirety of the first half of the game.
Yeah.
Every time he says, would you kindly, you go and do it.
But you don't realize
because
that's what you
do. The game is set up that you have like no choice between that.
And so it was just this mind blowing thing of just like, why was I doing this? Because he said to. That's why. Yeah. And why do I do this
again? So you need to
take
down the
stuff. Because they say to. Here, this is your objective. Go do that. Why? I don't know. That's the objective. That's what I'm supposed to do. It says on the game to go do that. And then so like the would you kindly, and the rest of the game, it kind of breaks a little bit of that mold, and the actual game, it becomes more interesting after that point, because Atlas betrays you, and he's been kind of screwing you over the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
I actually got that before I got to Andrew. I was like, Atlas is totally a bad guy.
Well, sure. I love that scene.
Well, thanks for ruining it for me.
Well, you asked.
Yeah,
I played through halfway.
We said spoiler, okay? Oh, right. You could have plugged your ears.
So with that one, actually, I want to use that and go on to what Spencer played this week.
It's a similar sort of idea.
I actually didn't think about that connection, because I've played halfway.
They're both 2K games.
That's why.
They're both 2K has been really good about this kind of... Okay, we're going to spoil a little bit about Spec Ops: The Line.
I'll try not to ruin too much.
Yeah, but we want to talk a little bit. It's another game. I'd love to have a spoiler cast of just
Spec Ops. Oh, my gosh. Because yeah, it's amazing. That was a wonderful experience. It's not a positive experience.
Yeah.
By any means. And who's the guy that does no punctuation?
Yahtzee.
I mean, he on The Escapist, he is like, you know, it's not a fun, enjoying experience, but it's a great experience to have, the same way that, you know, people like horror films. I mean, they like to be scared. And so you don't go in going, oh, that was so fun because I shot everyone up. No, the entire game, and you find this out early in the game, but you go into Dubai. Is it Dubai?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. So you go to Dubai.
A sand-covered
Dubai. Like this apocalyptic sandstorm just destroys the entire city.
Apocalyptic.
It's pretty... Was that air quotes? Did you air quote my apocalyptic?
You said something else. I don't know what you said. Keep going.
It's a new word. Copyright Spencer Buchanan, 2013. So you go in and you're trying to just do recon and trying to get people out or something. And all of a sudden Americans start shooting at you and you're like, whoa, 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 dude. But then they go, they're not going to stop shooting. We got to take them down. And so you have to shoot the Americans. And like the first or second time, you're like, whoa, dude, did I sign up for this? Am I shooting Americans?
And you're then also playing as an American.
You're playing as an American as well. You're I want to say Green Beret. Delta.
Special ops
you're
soldier.
Delta Force. Yeah. You're Delta Force. So you're the best of the best, right? And then you start killing more American soldiers. But there's these illusions like, oh, we're going to go find someone that's a leader and they're going to listen to us. And then just more and more, they just keep shooting at you. And you're like, oh, I guess we got to shoot these guys now. And you're like, how many times do I have to shoot Americans? This is really weird. You know, I've never had to do this in game. There's always an explicit, I know that they're from another country. I know that they're not. You know, even if you're not American, I think you can appreciate this game just because you're one guy, but everyone is the same nationality as you. You know, everyone's on your side or normally on your side, but now they're all fighting you and you have to shoot them.
Well, we don't want to go into too far.
No, I'm trying to think of what to say. I liked that I died so often. And the reason I died so often is the little quotes at the bottom. You know, there's always that saying. Call of Duty was famous for doing quotes of Patton and presidents and all that jazz. So this one, it switched between, you came to Dubai to save the people. Good job. Keep doing it. You know, it's like really encouraging things. And then every now and then it's like, remember, if you press L1 and R2 at the same time, you know, this, you know, just little tips on how to not suck at the game.
it would pop up ones like, like, so do you feel like a hero yet?
do you know why you came here? Do you remember why you came here?
You know, how many Americans have you killed today?
Yeah, and it's like, you know? Wait a minute, just like, what the heck?
I feel terrible.
Yeah, so what I noticed is at the beginning of it, you know, you're very sterile in the way you communicate with your two companions, mm-hmm. and you're like, all right, we took out, you know, they use all the lingo. It's like, all right, we've got two bogeys on our six. I can't remember what the
they do have a lot of bogeys.
They have a lot of bogeys. They pick bogeys out of their mouth. No, but they're like very, very clinical in how they're discussing it, and they, you know, and it kind of probably on his way of detaching yourself from who you're killing and the fact that you're killing. But then near the end, it's like, take that, mother effer! Yeah, I got another mother effing mother effer! And it's like, whoa, wait, dude, you're kind of being really mean, man. And like going, you know, you can tell this guy is wearing on him mentally, you know?
Spec Ops is one of the, is a game, and I've never played any other game like it, where the only way to win this game is to not play it.
Is to stop playing.
Yeah, to stop.
That is absolutely like, the only way to play it.
And it's funny because as gamers, you know, you're going, I need to know how this ends. I can't stop. I feel like crap as I'm playing
this
game.
Yeah, you literally emotionally just
stop.
You emotionally just feel deteriorated.
And you
watch as your main and protagonist deteriorates with you.
Yeah.
I mean, you see it. You hear it. He's constantly getting beat up. He's looking worse. It's like half of his face looks like it's blown off at one point. And
Well, they explode.
It was amazing.
You played Batman Arkham Asylum, right?
Yes.
You notice how, like, in Arkham, Batman's uniform gets more and more ratty, more and more torn up, holes appearing in places and stuff, as he gets further and further into the madness of Arkham Asylum.
Hmm.
You know, it's a really subtle thing, but it kept on happening. As the deeper he went, the more just, like, destroyed he was. All the way to the point where, like, his entire gauntlet is, like, destroyed and like, giant holes. And like, they play with that a lot in Spec Ops Online, mm-hmm. which I thought was really interesting. But anyway, I just thought it was an interesting connection that, you know, Ashley played Bioshock, and you played Spec Ops, and they're both just these kind of games that force you to look at yourself as a gamer in ways that you don't generally see. You know, you don't really, like, consciously think about. It's like, why do I go do this thing? Because you told me to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, why am I still playing this? Because I need to finish it.
Well, you know what kills me is I want to say I hate you game, but I want to play through it again because there's these diverging paths that mm-hmm. happen. There's these scenarios that you get put up with. And there's hostages, and then there's a guy that could potentially give you intel. Who do you save? Right? Do you go after the hostages? Do you go after the intel? Mm-hmm. And you can only do one because I tried and I died trying to save the guy and then go over there. Well, you know, you have to pick
there's
one.
There's also choices made that, like, aren't exactly clear. There's yes. like four or five ways to solve many of the different situations, and they don't tell you. They do give you some, like, there's certain ways, like, you have a choice, but mm-hmm. there's also a situation. They're not going to give you examples because they don't want to, you know. I know a number of them, but, yeah. like, where it's like, oh, I could do that? I didn't know I could do that.
Yeah.
I didn't even think to do that, you know?
Yeah. Do you
shoot first or do you think first? Like, there's a lot of, you know, I mean, at the end of Modern Warfare, spoiler, the Modern Warfare ends, but there's a point where...
The first one?
Yeah, the very first one.
Okay.
Modern Warfare, Call of Duty 4, where Price slides a pistol over to you to kill, you know, I forget the guy's name.
Bad guy number one.
The big bad guy. And everything goes into slow motion as you pull this trigger up and you fire to finish him off. I was like, why did you kill him? You know, why were you even hunting him? The game told you he was a bad guy, but you never even think, maybe I shouldn't. You know, why am I doing this? I don't know. You know, because I beat the game! I won! And what's funny about Spec Ops is that, like, as you're playing, achievements kept popping up for me. You know, on my, you know, achievements would be like, you killed 100 people with a pistol.
Oh, yeah.
You killed 100 people with a shotgun. Yeah, I was like, ugh. You know, it was the first game where I was like, I killed 100 people?
Yeah.
With that? Like, I mean, these little tickers that, like, seem like I'm playing Call of Duty or I'm playing Battlefield or anything else, and I'm like, yeah, all right, I'm doing great. They're just contributing to this overall feeling of, man, I'm an asshole.
Well, you know? And so, zero punctuation, Yahtzee says he doesn't like it that when you hit, so when you do a headshot, and kill with a headshot, everything slow-mos for about half a second, three-quarters of a second. And what's interesting is if there's three guys lined up, you can pop one in the head, move over, pop the other in the head, and you keep that slow motion going on. And he's like, it's like you're gratifying yourself for you know, they're applauding you, and you get to say, yeah, I popped him in the head, and I get a slow-mo explosion of his head. And, yeah, the heads explode when you do a headshot. It's a little, you know, a little gratuitous. I didn't feel like it was an opportunity for you to pat yourself on the back. I felt like it. Now look what you just did. You know, it just slows it. Shoes. Look what you just did, dude. That guy's got no head and he's falling. Okay, back to real game. You know,
keep going.
Do it again. Do it again. You know, and it you really feel like a dirtbag at the end of that game. And the one that popped up. Was every time, there was a little green bar that would pop up every time I got a headshot with certain weapons. Mm-hmm. And that green bar wasn't the Xbox achievements, but it was the in-game achievements. And it kept filling up. And it finally filled up with one of the weapons that I had shot so many people that I had, like, maxed out my total headshots. And I thought, I don't want to do this. I was like, I'm going to go find another weapon because I don't want to have that happen again. You know, it really was a weird feeling to have in a game. And I just thought, 2K I would work for you any day. You know, if you're continually questioning the system that we reside in, as opposed to just, hey, let's make another shooter, and, you know, and I appreciate, you know, that they make Borderlands, but even Borderlands doesn't take itself seriously.
Well, it's not much even about the shooter, it's just that, like, in each of the 2K development teams, they have, there's Gearbox who makes Borderlands,
right.
And there's, I think 2K published Spec Ops, but I can see why.
Yeah.
And I don't know who developed BioShock either, like with development team.
I just saw a bajillion 2Ks go on to that BioShock.
I think it was like 2K Marin or something like that. I forget.
I don't know. It popped up with all
of
them.
If you know, go ahead and send me an email and correct me. I'll go look it up afterwards. But it's just interesting to me that this is a company that does this kind of stuff. They look at really, really good design, really interesting mm-hmm. things that are different. So. Anyway, I noticed that both of you guys have played these games, and I wanted
that's
to...
That's so cool. Within the same exact time frame.
Irrational games. BioShock did our Irrational. I'm Googling it as we talk, so...
So...
Yeah, it was a great experience, and honestly, I want to play it again. Like, I want to go through it, and I'm like, oh, I want to try doing it this way. Because if you do it one way, or at least the way I did it, I got chewed out by one of the two guys that I was with. And mm-hmm. he's like, we should have done it this way. You're such a jerk. You know, you didn't listen to me. What? And he started crying, and then you have to get a, no, I'm just kidding. but like, there's.
Do you get him a tissue? Do you not get him a tissue?
Oh. Do you shoot him in the knee? And say, cry about that. Yeah, well, And what's funny is, you know, everyone wants these crazy, you know, Mass Effect does, you can comment on this, but they attempt at the narrative being really broad, and you can choose sure. whatever you want to go, whatever you want to do, you can kill people off, you can keep them with you, you know, there's a lot of options. And unfortunately, it sounded like it all came down to like one or two options at the end. And you're like, I did all that work doing all these different choices, and I had to do the same thing that everyone else did.
Well,
you know?
Well, one of the things about Mass Effect is that like a lot of the choices that you make are very telegraphed. It's very rare for a game to, like, you play Fallout, you play Skyrim, you play Mass Effect, mm-hmm. Dragon Age, or any of those type of Western RPGs, or sometimes Japanese RPGs. Choices are telegraphed. They're given to you. There's like, okay, you can choose the good path, or you can choose the not so good path. You can be the good, you know, the righteous person, you can be the renegade. Mm-hmm. You know, you get to choose one or the other, and the karma will reflect, and it's very adamant about telling you, this was a bad choice, your karma just went down.
Yeah.
This is a good choice, your karma just went up.
Yeah.
You know, and it'll some, like, you can sit there and debate it for yourself as the little prompt comes up for a little while, and just like, Do I do that? I don't know. I just gotta think. Mass Effect, the problem that had is all telegraphed like that. Whereas mm-hmm. Spec Ops went in and just said, there are some instances, these are choices.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't go, you can do this or this, push a button.
Yeah.
It's, do you think before you act or you just act?
Yeah.
What do you do?
But what was interesting
is
it felt
like... Your friend
is
just killed. What do you do?
It felt like...
I kill everyone who killed him.
You know, there's these branching narratives, but they just keep... funneling back into, you're always forced to do this event. Sure. Here's an option, but you're still forced no matter what. You choose to go back to this. And I never felt disappointed by doing that. Like, even the ending, it's like, I mean, there's alternate endings based on choices that you make at the end. But even then, I didn't feel, like, I guess, I didn't feel like I was being forced or pigeonholed into anything. I just felt like, I still felt like I had choices, but I still understood that, 45 minutes.
Okay.
I still felt like I don't know. I still felt like I enjoyed it thoroughly, and I want to explore it with the other options, even though I know what's going to happen.
Sure.
I still want to do it because I want to see what would happen if I did this instead of that.
Absolutely.
You know,
it's a testament to good design.
Yeah. So it really is.
We want to wrap this up.
Okay.
But that's great.
Thanks, Christian, for your insight and knowledge.
Thanks for coming in.
I didn't know what to say.
Do you want to talk about League for 2 minutes?
Well, I've been playing actually a lot more of Guild Wars 2 this last weekend.
Guild Wars 2?
Yeah.
Are you still playing the cat lady?
What cat lady?
Don't you have a cat character?
Oh, it's a warrior, but it's not a girl, it's a guy.
Oh, well, yeah. It looks like a girl, but it's a guy with a cat tail.
Yes, it's the race. They're called the cat. Char.
Char-char? Charmander?
The Char.
The Char, alright.
Very cool.
They're like tiger-like people kind
of
thing.
Nice.
So, yeah. Is it a good game? Like, I haven't played Guild Wars 2.
Yes, I actually like it. Okay. Mainly because it's really geared to, in my opinion, people that don't have much time to like be like hardcore into like World of Warcraft kind of thing.
I love hearing that. Yeah. Like, I've heard that in reviews.
Like, the thing is, like, so for example, like, this last weekend, I leveled up like 10 levels without like even trying that hard, you know? So, you can't really do that in World of Warcraft. You have to do a lot of grinding, you know, all this other stuff. And one thing that pisses me off about Guild Wars is they have no mounts.
Mounts.
And so, like, you have to either walk everywhere or teleport everywhere, but it costs a lot of money to teleport.
Hmm.
And you can't really, well, where I'm at right now, I can't really farm that much gold. So it drives me nuts.
Interesting. So, I'm curious if you can give us some examples, because every now and then I'll see you in the studio and you'll just pop it on for like 20 minutes and turn it off, and I'm like, there's no way you got anything done in that game. You know,
well,
do you feel like even in that small amount of time that you're able to do stuff?
Yeah, like, cause like, okay, so in World of Warcraft, you go to an area, you collect all your quests, then you go through them. You know, it's usually can kill 10 of this, 10 of that, and come back and we'll give you gold or something.
Sure.
So the way that it's done in Guild Wars is that they have like, they have areas and like where there's like a mission for that area, but it's only one mission for that little area. And it doesn't feel like a grind. It's just part of a story kind of thing. That's the way I see it. Mm-hmm. And you go and help the people in that area, and then you get rewards for it. And the one thing that I love about that is that you can go to an area without actually ever talking to the person that gives you the quest.
Nice.
Because you go to the area, and as soon as you get into the range, it lets you know, oh, this is the quest for this area. Do this. And then as soon as you finish it, it gives you your XP. And then like 10 seconds later, you get a mail. Like you get a letter in your mail. And it says, oh, thanks for helping me. Here's your gold.
So you don't have to go to the whole find the one person, talk to the one person.
Go back to said person.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So I love that.
That's a really neat feature.
The other thing that I kind of hate is the dungeons. Hmm. Like I'm level 33 now. And I barely managed to do one the other day. So like,
well, maybe are they designed for like high level?
Yeah. Okay. It's like your first dungeon, you can't go in until you're at least level 30.
Interesting.
And then there's two modes for each dungeon. There's a story mode and an exploration mode. Because like the whole point of Guild Wars is that you create a character, and then at the beginning when you create them, you have like a bunch of different things you can customize of how you grew up and where you come from and stuff like that. And then that dictates how your story is going to be. And you have a personal storyline throughout the whole game.
Interesting. Wow.
Is it free to play?
No. No. You buy the game, but you don't pay monthly fees.
It's a flat fee game. I think it's
20? I bought the game, I bought the deluxe edition, so I paid $70 for it.
Okay.
But the regular one, I think, is like either $60 or $50.
Okay.
Yeah.
And,
I remember the original one was only $20, and it was like, wait, $20, no monthly fees? Where's the catch? You know?
And microtransactions.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Okay. So, like, they have a lot of stuff in there that you can buy, like, bonuses, you can buy skins, you can do all these other stuff. And they also have, exchange, where if like you're really high level and you have a ton of gold that you just don't need anymore, you can exchange it for gems, which is like the, you know, like the currency you pay cash for, but you basically exchange with other people in game.
Huh.
So like, let's say you have a lot of money that you pay towards, you know, ArenaNet, and I have a lot of gold, but I want your money and you want my gold, then we exchange, and then, you know, we both get what we want, and there's no gold farming kind of game, Gold of Warcraft, and all that stuff.
You don't have to go circuitorially around. You just
Do they have anything like auction houses, like Diablo 3 is doing?
Yeah. They have a. They don't have like a real money auction house. Okay. Like they do something, like but they do have that exchange for
they
like
do the crafting and all that too.
Yeah, they have crafting. I don't ever really get into that stuff with any game. Like I hate doing the cold crafting thing.
I've been playing DC Universe Online recently, and I don't like crafting at all.
Yeah,
so I just give me a new weapon,
Yeah, that's how I am. So
I'm high enough. Just give me something. Well, let me buy it. That's the one that bothered me. I have all this money here.
Yeah. It's interesting how to manage the economy, because at some point gold doesn't matter. It's these, you know, what's the highest commodity is someone's skill in crafting your tools for you.
You have to go farm. I need these little yellow things that will come. 8 of them will combine to make another yellow thing, and I need 4 of those in order to make my guns of amazingness.
Yeah.
Awesome. So I'm going to have to play for like a million years, and then I can finally make something.
And you know, the theory is, well, you just pay with cash and someone else has farmed for those. But then, like, cash doesn't even becomes obsolete because people are selling red gems for yellow gems. And now you have to collect a whole bunch of red gems because no one's selling red gems for cash because no one uses cash anymore in the game, you know?
It's like, well, what's the point?
Yeah.
Can you imagine if our economy ran that way? Well, I'll give you $80 million. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't take money. I take red gems.
Rupees!
I take Facebook likes.
But I have 80 million in euros. No, I'm sorry. I only take red gems. Or 14 yellow gems.
Or 200.
But I have $80 million.
But 200 Twitter likes is really expensive. I know. Right now.
I just. Oh well. Anyway, all right. Let's wrap that up. But that's awesome. I'll look into that, because like I like MMO, the idea of MMOs, but I just keep on running into those final frustrations with them. So
we'll be able to play. What do you call it? What's that one that just went free to play? Terra.
Terra.
Oh no! Can I be like the super sexy little girl?
You can.
It depends.
That's so friggin' wrong.
I think the men are super sexy.
Because it may be a guy.
Like, is it? And I want the total barely there armor with like the slits of metal that just go over the boobs and you see in between them. That one's hilarious. But seriously, the sexy little girls who are a little overdeveloped for how young they are.
Oh my gosh.
They're dwarfs.
Oh, well, they're not really little girls. They're like their own race, but they look like
little the race of pedophilia.
Well, it did come from Asia.
It started in Korea.
Oh,
and there's another one coming over now too. It's called Blade and Soul. It's pretty much like it. It looks pretty cool too.
Hmm.
That's the one that's done by the artist from Magna Carta.
Oh, Kim Hyun Tae.
Yeah.
So I love his stuff.
Look into that one.
Yeah. He's an interesting person.
Terra for just a little bit with you. Yeah,
yeah, you'll be.
I just watched his sexy ladies run around.
No, I really like Terra. I just never had time for it, so I stopped.
I wanted to like Terra, but I'm super critical, so.
Why? What do you like about it?
I just, well, like, we talked about this. We talked about it last year when I was
playing.
Ladies
aren't sexy enough. Well, yeah.
it doesn't do it for me.
Yeah. You need to buy the HD, in Korea,
they have an HD pack?
Yeah, they have an HD pack like texture pack.
Give me a break.
It was MMOs for me a lot of times. I don't like grinding. That's just one thing I can't stand. And so that's what Guild Wars, I'm glad to hear that you don't do that as much. But I also, I get bothered by the combat systems. It's like, as far as everything, this is why it took me a little while to get into League. Mm-hmm. Because when I take a shot at somebody in a, you know, shooter,
mm-hmm.
I shoot them. And if I hit them in the face, they die.
Yeah.
That's the end.
Okay.
Whereas, like, I've been playing DC Universe Online. The thing that I can't get over is I'm a guy with two pistols. Okay, I have to fire like 500 rounds into a guy's face, doing this jumping back and forth, bam, 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 do a backflip, and then jump this way, shoot forward, and then jump and then fly and shoot him like this, over and over again, just to do any damage. And like, I'm going through like thousands of bullets to put a guy down. But it's an MMO, you know, like that kind of stuff doesn't translate well to actual PvP combat.
The thing I love about Terra, and I wish that if there was like some way to like merge Guild Wars and Terra, it'd be like the perfect game in my mind.
Terra Wars.
Because
I guess Guild Wars is missing all the sexy ladies.
Yes.
The thing I like about Terra is that like it's an MMO, but it's not like World of Warcraft or Guild Wars in the sense that you sit there and push your buttons.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's some dodging in Guild Wars that you can do, but in Terra, you have to aim, and if you don't land your attack, you don't do damage.
But it still rolls the dice on each attack, doesn't it?
What do you mean?
Crits, not crits.
Oh, well, yeah. But, okay. But like, it's all about, you know, you have to No, you have to aim your attack. You can't just. You know,
but Borderlands does that. I mean, Borderlands is a shooter, but each of your weapons has numbers on it, stats on it, so that, you know, it's not just a shot to the head all the time.
That's inherent in design, and that's one of the reasons why it's always been a merge of an RPG and a shooter.
Right.
Let's not talk about that,
because we're going to keep going.
I was
trying. So, you saw right through me.
You want to close it up, or you want me to?
Close it up. Ash, you close it up this time. Tell us, where can you find us on Twitter?
I don't know.
I'll do it. All right, Karate's turn.
Okay, so if you have any questions for us, or if you want to get a hold of us, you can find us on Facebook, /GameDevConfess. You can find us on Twitter, @GameDevConfess. Or
and you can find us at email, Ashley.
Come on.
GameDevConfess@gmail.com.
Yeah! You're learning. Good job.
I'm learning.
Yay.
All right. Awesome. This has been Confessions of a Game Dev. Confessions of a Game Dev?
Yes. Podcast.
Of a podcast. Confessions of a podcast.
I think this one's like episode 18.
Wow.
I don't know.
We have to do something for 20.
I know. Maybe
we'll do a podcast.
It's over 1,800!
Just wanted to thank everybody. Thank you so much, Christian Munoz.
Yes. Thank you, Ashley, for hanging out with us.
Thanks, Ash, for coming back.
You're welcome.
Ashley McMillan. Thanks, Spencer.
You're welcome.
Spencer B.
Shucks.
Spenny B.
Spenny B. I should try Spenny B.
I know.
My Twitter handle.
We've told you that.
No, I did that. I did try that. Someone took it.
Oh, okay.
Why someone took Spenny B.
And
so, @thespenny is all I get. Whatever. All right.
I'm Brandon Karate, and we're done. The end of Game Dev Confess. Start the music.
I'm not going to do it this time.
You are.
No, I'm not going to do it like I did it last time.
You do music.
No.
Put the music on.
Actually, do the music.
Oh, I don't know. What is the music?
Guess?
I can play a song from my iPhone.
No, that's not the same.